Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. Last week, if you remember, we had an invitation. An invitation that helped us get a handle on how temptation and sin comes into our life. Now, this week, we're talking about a different kind of invitation. In fact, it's more like a whack upside the head for us. We're invited this week to get lost for Christ's sake. How many times have we heard such words, but not with their plain meaning? Oftentimes when we hear someone say, for Christ's sake, they mean anything but for the sake of Jesus Christ. But today we hear yet another invitation in Scripture to truly get lost for the sake of Jesus Christ. Now we get this invitation because of what Christ has done. Because of Jesus Christ, we have been given peace with God, according to St. Paul today. We possess a covenant of peace purchased for us by the blood of Jesus Christ on the cross. Our peace with God is not gained by foreskins or lamb's blood or sacrifices that we perform like the old covenant. The covenant we have is a covenant based on what God has done. What God has done for us and not our own efforts, not our own sacrifices. God sacrificed His Son, as St. Paul reminds us in the New Testament lesson today. We have gone from being God's enemies to being reconciled with God. Listen again to verse 10 from Romans 5. For if, when we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to Him through the death of His Son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through His life? We were God's enemies because of our sin. And we rejected His love for us, as expressed in the first covenant that required perfect sacrifices. We also failed to do that as well. Now, if you look back at the first part, or at that part of the first covenant spoken of in the Old Testament lesson today, God made a promise and a covenant with Abram to be his God. God made promises to Abram, promises that God alone could keep, such as giving that 99-year-old man and his barren wife a son through that wife. But that came after these promises to Abram in today's reading. These were promises that Abram could get lost in, or rather, he could lose himself in. Getting lost in the covenant is what God wanted from Abram and for Abram. It's what God desires for us as well. To get lost in His love, to get lost in His passion for us. And when we do get lost in His love, we lose so much. We lose what is worth losing. We lose our sinful selves, our old sinful nature of guilt over sin. And in exchange, we get lost in life. Life in Christ. But look again at what God promised Abram. It says in verse 4, "You will be the father of many nations. I will be your God and the God of your descendants after you." Abram would father many nations, and through him all nations of the world would learn of God and His love. We know God. We know God through the offspring of Abraham, Jesus Christ. and through us and our offspring in the faith, just as through Abraham, God promises that the world will know him. And by such knowing, the world too will be blessed. But our offspring, in this case, is of a different sort. It isn't through our physical lineage that the world will be blessed to know God, but through our spiritual offspring, by those who come to hear the gospel, through sharing Christ. You know, you never know. You never know what effect you'll have on the lives of others that come after you. You never know what God will do through those with whom you share the gospel. What they may do may indeed bless the world. Consider the story of a gardener named Fleming. Many, many years ago, a wealthy English family was entertaining friends at their home. As the children swam, one child ventured into the deep water and began to drown. The gardener heard the other children screaming and jumped into the water, and he saved that child. That drowning youngster's name was Winston Churchill. Deeply grateful to the gardener, the parents asked how they could ever repay him. He hesitated, but he said, "I wish my son could go to college someday to be a doctor." "He will," said Churchill's parents. "We will pay his way." Now, many years later, when Sir Winston was prime minister, he became ill with pneumonia. The best physician that the king could find was called to the bedside of the ailing leader. His name was Sir Alexander Fleming, the developer of penicillin, and the son of the gardener who long ago saved a drowning Winston. Because of that gardener and his son, not only did they save Churchill's life twice, but because of Churchill's leadership, Britain was able to triumph in World War II. Because of that gardener, the course of history as we know it was affected, was blessed. So also with those to whom we speak of Christ. With the death of Billy Graham this week, a great blessing to the world has departed. Perhaps your sharing the gospel with someone will result in them following in Billy's steps in sharing Christ. We don't know which person with whom we speak will go on to teach others of Jesus and to bless the world in some way that brings glory to God. And besides, such results are not what we're to concern ourselves with. We are to be faithful. We are to be faithful. Faithful in telling others who Jesus truly is. We are to get lost in the telling for Christ's sake. When Jesus asked his disciples in the gospel lesson today in verse 29, "But you, who do you say that I am?" Jesus was asking if they were yet lost in being his followers. Had they yet understood all his teaching and revealing himself to the point they could confess that Jesus was the Son of God? That's what he was asking. And that's what Peter gave evidence to when he said, "You are the Christ." When Jesus followed up a few verses later and said, "For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel will save it." Jesus was talking about intention. He was talking about purpose. He was talking about will. He's calling for a response to who he is. Now, Peter, in the gospel lesson, in the gospel reading, has just identified Jesus, by the grace of God, as God's Son. And then, on his own, dear Peter attempts to correct God's Son. Peter had not yet lost his life for Christ's sake, or for the good news of the Christ, the Son, and what he has brought. When Jesus said, "But whoever loses his life for my sake in the gospel," Jesus uses a word for lose that carries with it the idea of destruction. Destruction. This is what I meant when I said there's intention to what Jesus said. Jesus calls us to intentionally destroy our old life, to set our old life totally aside, and to get lost in Him. To lose ourselves in Jesus Christ is to lose ourselves into the promise of God. Now, I have been lost before, as Dana can testify, but not by choice. When that happens, I get scared, and I get frightened, and I get loud. That's because I'm not where I intended to be. Well, there's something to be said for understanding that when it comes to what Jesus said today. We are to get lost, but on purpose. We're to lose ourselves in the promise of God on purpose. On purpose, we are to destroy our worship of self and self-importance so we can recognize God. God is the only God in our lives. Think back again to what Peter did. Doesn't it seem familiar that within a few beats of professing Jesus as God's Son, that Peter then tries to tell God's Son what he should and shouldn't do? I say it may sound familiar because don't we oftentimes do that? We try. And we say to God, "We want to do your will." But then we turn around and tell him what we want his will to be. We often try to get God to bless our will rather than submitting our will to him, rather than do as Jesus said today and lose or destroy our rebellious will for his sake. And here's another thing from the Old Testament lesson. Did you notice that after making his covenant with Abram, God changed his name? That idea of changing his name is there to give Abram a new identity, an identity not found in his own choosing or creation, but an identity based on the word and the promise of God to Abram. Abram meant exalted father, and Abraham means father of many. Notice that what God changed was the intention of his name. It went from being inward focused to being outward focused. But most important was this new name God had given. God had given it to him, indicated a change in the life of this man. Because of God's promise, Abram's old identity was set aside, and now he was to get lost in being Abraham. That's what Jesus is talking about in the gospel lesson as well. We're to see our new identity in the proclamation of the good news that the Son of God has come and brought to us his righteousness and our reconciliation with God by his blood shed on the cross. He has done it. He alone has done it. And that's where we find our new identity. And that gives us the freedom and the mandate to declare what we know. That is what we get lost in. And then, we then let God change people's lives as he sees fit. What he does in their lives, we can't know or control. Remember the story of the gardener and Winston Churchill. That gardener did not know that his actions in saving that boy would result in a change for the world. So also, our getting lost for Christ's sake and sharing that lostness of ours with others, we don't know what changes that will bring, nor are those changes up to us. That's up to God, with whom we are no longer enemies. Our identity is that of one who is reconciled now to God. We're called to get lost in that new identity. Followers of Christ. That is who we are now. We are no longer enemies of God. So we no longer are bound to act as His enemies. We're no longer bound to the sin which held us under its powerful grasp. We are free. We are free of that by the righteousness of Christ alone. And we are now lost in that new way of life. And we're to be found in our new identities in Christ. We are the reconciled. We are the found. We are the followers of Jesus, the Son of God, who came to die on the cross and rise again to give us the promise of God. That promise, that is ours to get lost in for Christ's sake. In His name we do pray. Amen. May the words of our mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in Your sight, O Lord, our Rock and our Redeemer.